Father, I truly do thank you for what you've already started here tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you're going to work throughout the service, and by the end you will have completed what you wanted to do here tonight. I thank you for those who have come out to sit at your feet and to be closer to you and learn more of your ways. I'm asking, Father God, that this Christmas holiday be different than any holiday we've ever spent with you, that it will be a life-changing holiday. And when it is finished, we will be the vessels of honor that you need us to be. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I look around and some aren't here today. I hope everybody's in good health and everything's going fine in your life. Tonight, God wants to talk about fresh rivers of love. One thing that God is very upset about is he's trying to get families together, and families are not cooperating with him. They are not walking in the love that he has called them to walk in, and therefore he is disgusted, I'll put it that way. And some of you might find yourself divorced when you go into the new year, because you will not yield to the call of love that God has upon your life. You know where you're at in your marriage, and you know what you're doing, whether it's what God wants you to do or not. Do you think that Jesus enjoyed being criticized every day of his life? You know, the scripture that was read this morning said that it was prophesied that Jesus would be born and he was the Messiah. It's right there in the Word. But people still today say he's not. And people still today won't love him. And they reject him. And can you imagine what he might, if he was like us, sitting up there in the heavenly places, interceding for you, and you still reject him? Do you know what that would do to his heart if he was like you? Come on. All right, this time of the year is all about love, supposed to be. The love Jesus showed it on the cross. That's what this season is all about. And John, let's read John 15, starting at verse 9. I have loved you. This is Jesus speaking. I have loved you as the Father has loved me. Now continue in my love. And that's why you don't love the way you should. Because Jesus, I have loved you as the Father has loved me, and you don't think the Father loves you. You won't even honor him. And then Jesus says, now continue in my love. I have obeyed my Father's commands, and he continues to love me. So you're not obeying God's commands, so is that why you feel like he doesn't love you? In the same way, if you obey my commands, I will continue to love you. I have told you these things so that you can have the true happiness that I have. I want you to be completely happy. This is what I command you. Love each other as I have loved you. The greatest love people can show is to die for their friends. This is Jesus speaking. You won't even walk around the corner for your friend, let alone die for them. And that's the truth. You are my friends if you do what I tell you to do. I no longer call you servants because servants don't know what their master is doing. But now I call you friends because I have told you everything that my Father told me. You did not choose me. I chose you, and I gave you this work to go and produce fruit. That's the work he gave you to do, to go and produce fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you anything you ask for in my name, Then the Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. This is my command, love each other. You know, when you get married, you stand in front of a preacher and you make all kind of promises you don't ever intend to keep. One or the other, don't intend to keep it. If you did, your marriage would be the way God wanted it to be. Come on. We have moved into a season of time where the love of God is going to be expressed through believers in levels we have only dreamed of in the past. We have already moved into a season of time where the love of God is going to be expressed through believers in levels we have only dreamed of in the past. Now, I made that statement, but are you in that place? Are you in that place where you'll be able to love no matter what people do to you? That this is a strong wave. I'm hearing God say this is a strong wave of love that's going to invade the atmosphere and fall into the church. And those who won't love, he will be destroyed by the weight of God's love that's going to fall into the sanctuaries. Right now, more than any time in church history, the world desperately needs a touch from the loving arms of Jesus. Right, and if you can't love those in your household, if you can't love your husband and wife, you're never going to love anybody else. That's just the way it is. No matter what you have to go through, that's your assignment. You're in that place because God wanted you in that place, and you have an assignment to let his love shine forth through you to somebody that's not lovable. All right? The Lord is raising up a new breed. Is that where I'm at or mine right now? Okay. Right now, more than any time in church history, the world desperately needs a touch from the loving arms of Jesus. The Lord is raising up a new breed of believers that will be so consumed with the love of God that they will transform dead, hopeless hearts. Are you understanding this? You know, you need to stop. And, you know, I was ministering to somebody this weekend, and I said, you know, God never looks at the outward appearance. He looks at what has gone on in that person's life all their lifetime, and that's how he judges them. He sees the woundedness deep inside that we don't see. And this is why God lays it upon your heart to love that person, because he knows that you can love them and bring them out of that woundedness. But if all you ever look at is their ugliness on the outside, and they are ugly at that point, and how they aren't doing what you want them to do, you'll never bring them out of that woundedness. They'll stay in that woundedness and die there. And one day God's going to hold you accountable because you did not love them the way God desired for you to do that. Are you listening here? Every one of you sitting, every one of us sitting in here have been wounded deeply at one point in our life. And it took love to bring us out of that woundedness, did it not? It took love and understanding from somebody who knew how to love and understand. All right, I told this story years ago. I'm going to tell it again. You know, when I worked at the college, I worked in the registrar's office, and the girls didn't like me for some reason. And we would do registration, and we'd be lined up registering the people, and they would delight in harassing me all day long. Well, this one day, I just couldn't take it any longer, and I got off my chair, and I started to go to the bathroom, and I was crying. And one of the girls that was doing harassing ran out there and grabbed me, and I tried to get away from her, but she would not let me go. She said, I'm going to stand here and love you until I love away the wounding that we just did to you. And she stood there and held me, wouldn't let me go, and she just said, we really love you, and we're so sorry. Finally, I broke down and started crying, and I was healed of what they just did to me. But if she wouldn't have done that, that would have been a deep wound that I would have carried, and the enemy would have worked on that really good. She knew they were wrong, and I couldn't take no more. So she cleared the thing up. Now, how many of you have wounded somebody and you just say, well, you need to get over it? When what you need to do is you need to go and you need to hold them and you need to let them know how sorry you are for what you did to them, and you need to do it until they break and the love of God flows from you to them. Even though you were the one that wounded them, the love of God should be so deep inside of you that you can undo what you just did. The Lord is that we're met at 1 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, so these three things continue, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope. You can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't have love, your faith is nothing. We need to start moving in the opposite spirit of the world. When you feel like being harsh, move in the opposite spirit and be kind. One of the most powerful weapons we have as believers is the unconditional love of Christ flowing through us. As we move in the opposite spirit of the world, loving people, even those that are the most difficult to love, we will begin to see people's hearts melt. In other words, if you feel like being ignorant to somebody today, don't. Go the opposite way. Go the way of the love of God. And watch and see how God will turn that heart around. Some of you just don't want to be loved. You really don't. You just don't want to be loved, and you just want to be good and ignorant. And no matter what somebody does to you, you keep refusing their love they're trying to put into you. And that's not the other person's fault. That's you digging your own grave of hate and bitterness. God needs the church to turn around and do what's right. God needs us to love the unlovable. You know, it's not always easy to be standing around beside somebody or in front of them that is dark. It isn't. That darkness just about engulfs you. But as you cry out to God to let His love flow from you, you can dispel that darkness. You really can. This is a story I read and I thought it was very interesting. I want you to really look at what you're reading. In 1983, I had a moment. This is a young boy speaking. This is a man speaking. In 1983, I had a moment that changed my life forever. In a vision, I saw myself waking up in a cabin that I used to dream about going to with my dad. It was hunting and fishing paradise in the Canadian Rockies, a few hours drive from where I grew up. My dad had promised to take me there for my 12th birthday, but at the last minute, he canceled. He was a very successful businessman who was also an alcoholic and a workaholic before he became a Christian and didn't realize how important it was to me to be able to spend time with him. So at that moment, when I was 12, I made the decision that I would never believe his word again. As far as I was concerned, I didn't need a father anyway. Some of you sitting in here tonight feel the very same way. Now, in this story goes on. Now, in this vision, I saw myself as a 12-year-old boy on that vacation we never took, waking up in the cabin with my dad. He was preparing breakfast, and through sleepy eyes, I peered into the kitchen to see who was making me breakfast. What I saw literally blew my mind. There was a middle-aged man dressed in blue jeans standing at the stove whistling, having a great old time cooking enough food to feed an army. He had shoulder-length gray hair and was about the same stature as my earthly father. As he turned around, he looked into my eyes, and I knew instantly who this was. He was Abba Father, my Daddy God. Through the window of his eyes, I saw into his soul. With one look, he communicated that he loved me with his whole heart. He wasn't measuring me by my works to see if my works deserved his love. He loved me regardless of my works. He could see right through me into my heart. He knew me completely, present, past, and future, and still loved me. He knew my weaknesses, my failings, and my sin. He knew how many times I had made promises only to break them. Yet that had not diminished even a tiny bit of his love. My worth to him was not determined by anything I had done in the past or would do in the future. It was solely determined by what Jesus did for me on the cross 2,000 years ago. He has always loved me and always will. This is his Christmas gift to you today, too. He has always loved you and he always will. I knew that I would never be able to add to that value by what I do. I received in that moment a gift of God's grace, a gift of sonship. You see that? Are you reading that? Are you listening to what you're reading? I knew now that I had the same value that Jesus has to the Father and knew the meaning of Romans 8:15, which says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." I wish that each one of you in this room tonight would understand how much God loves you and what the cross really did for you. And I wish that you would quit meddling into your own old business and throw that book away and start afresh and anew today, knowing that your Father loves you. And because your Father loves you, you need to love others as Christ loved you. You need to quit making excuses of why you don't love somebody. You need to quit making excuses of why you have a right to hate somebody, because you don't. And you need to just to walk in the love of Christ and show the world what Christ is all about. How are you going to mentor somebody else if you yourself can't walk in love? That's a big question. Do you understand that whenever somebody does you wrong and you get bitter towards them, that it destroys you deep inside? Do you understand if somebody, if God has placed somebody in your life and you're supposed to love them and mentor them and bring them forth, that whenever you walk into a room where they're at, you're supposed to be loving them and not saying, "Look what they're doing," or "Look how they hurt me"? This is very serious. If we don't get this love walk down, we're done. We really are. It is love that hung on the cross. It was not hate. Many people have found out that most of the confusion concerning the Father's loving heart comes from how we view our parents and other authority figures. These are all people we have looked to for approval and a sense of identity and purpose. Let's read that again. Many people have found out that most of the confusion concerning the Father's loving heart comes from how we view our parents and other authority figures. These are all people we have looked to for approval and a sense of identity and purpose. Right now, you need to know that you are already a complete success in your Abba Father's eyes. Not for what you have or will do, but by what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago on the cross. And I know that there's not a soul in this room tonight that hasn't said to the Father, "Do you still love me? Am I still the apple of your eye? Or have I gone too far in the opposite direction?" And you want to hear the Father give his approval to you of his love for you. There's not a one of us that hasn't gone there at some time. And if you haven't gone there, there will come a day when you will. And when he tells you how much he loves you, just sit there and cry, because you know you don't deserve all that love. Amen. And you know that you're not the love vessel that God has called you forth to be. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing in spite of all the pressure from other people's agendas. He was free to perform his Father's agenda, and he wants the same for you and I. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. And what did he see the Father do? Love. Unconditionally love. In spite of all the pressure from other people's agendas, he was free to perform his Father's agenda, and he wants the same for us. Jesus knew he was loved by the Father, and he could do what the Father asked him to do. Jesus knew he was loved by the Father, and he could do what the Father asked him to do. We are to be the same as Jesus, no matter who doesn't love you. You need to understand that God loves us unconditionally. I was ministering to somebody the other day whose father, who his mother and father divorced, and then she remarried, and the stepfather didn't like him. So the stepfather said to his mother, "It's either him that goes or I go." And the mother looked at the young boy who was 12 years old and said, "You have to pack your bags and leave." And a school teacher took him in and showed him what love was all about. But a mother chose a man over her own child. Do you know what that did to him? Him and I talked about that. Totally destroyed him, but he had a wonderful school teacher who took him in and showed him the true love of God. How many of us will run across somebody that somebody else has done that to them, and they're really wounded and bruised? And are you going to be able to shed the love of God abroad to them and assure them that God loves them no matter what? Come on. As we learn this lesson that God loves us unconditionally, as we learn this lesson, we will be able to go forth totally saturated in God's love and turn the sinner's heart to Christ. As we learn this lesson, we have to learn that lesson first. We will be able to go forth totally saturated in God's love and turn the sinner's hearts to Christ. My question to you is, how much of the love of God do you receive and manifest on the earth today? You know, one thing I always say to the Father, I really do love you, Father. And he always says, "I know you do." It is so wonderful to hear him. I just now thought, maybe I say that just so I can hear him say that. How many of you walk around working or something, just all of a sudden you just feel the love you have for God well up inside of you, and you just say, "I really do love you, Father. You know, I love you, your Son, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. I love the whole Godhead. And I'm so glad that I'm your child and you take care of me." Right? There isn't anybody on this earth that can do that, you know, like God can. He can only love you the way you need to be loved. And see, when we demand that somebody else love us, we're really sinning, because they can't love us like you want to be loved. Only God can do that. Amen? John 15:9, I have loved you as a father has loved me. Now continue in my love. God is asking each one of us tonight to dive deeper in the river of God's love. Deeper than ever before. I mean, truly deeper than ever before. And then allow his love to splash on everyone who comes in contact with us. Are you listening? We need to ask God to give us an amazing love for other ministries and churches. Delaware needs to learn to love. The leaders of the churches need to love other leaders and to quit their tearing them down and doing what they're doing. We need to quit wounding those we don't understand. We need to quit wounding those who don't understand. Sometimes husbands and wives don't understand each other. Sometimes I don't understand these two children, but I still love them. Come on. You know, you were once a kid, I believe. Not unless you went from seed to grown up, you know. And you did dumb things too. So why can't your kids have the privilege of doing dumb things growing up? you know, the hormones are running rapid and all kind of changes going on around about them, and you expect them to act like there's nothing changed in their life, and they're in a turmoil. And you can't love them. That's a shame. We need to ask God, is that where I'm at? We need to ask God to give us an amazing love for other men. I read that. Think of it this way. In the Lord's grand design, all the streams eventually end up in a river. Now, talking about ministries, not loving one another. All the streams eventually end up in a river, and then all the rivers will end up in the ocean, and we are all part of the same body. So why not grow in love for each other? I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. But your river's running in a different direction. If we're children of God, we all have the same mindset, right? That we're love vessels for God to work through. And we will all go into the same stream. And we will heal and not kill. Right? Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second most important command is this: love your neighbor. These two commands are the most important. Love the Lord your God. So you have to do this first. You can't love your neighbor first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all of your heart, not just a quarter of it, right? All your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second most important command is this: love your neighbor. These two commands are the most important. We need to understand that there will always be people who oppose the gospel. Everybody's not going to love the gospel like you do. Thank God, because some of you don't love it. You just put on a face, right? I just being honest, you know, come on. No matter how many signs and wonders they see that are motivated by the love of God, they're just not going to believe. They're just not going to want God. They're not going to believe your gospel, and they're going to walk away. And you don't need to get all excited about that. You gave them the word. That's all you're supposed to do. John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, this is Jesus speaking, if the world hates you, remember that they hated me first. See, when I first got born again, I thought everybody needed to love me, right? And when they didn't, I went crying to God, and he gave me the scripture. If the world hates you, remember that they hated me first. See, I didn't know that was in there. If you belong to the world would love you as it loves its own people. But I have chosen you to be different from those in the world, so you don't belong to the world, and that is why the world hates you. If your spouse won't love you, evidently that's the world. And so they hate you instead of loving you. Amen. Come on. That's the truth. Because if they weren't of the world, they would love you the way Christ commands you to love one another. Jesus had many enemies, and he shared that we would too if we walk as he did. There's a member of my family that loves me with all their heart, but they can't stand to live in my home. And I said, God, what is the problem here? He said, because the enemy in her can't stand my presence in this house, and so it keeps driving her back out on the street. Isn't that something? So, you know, that proves that we have love in the home. And the enemy can't stand that love, and so it's trying to destroy the vessel that it keeps taking back outside. So you don't need to do what I was doing. I was thought there's something wrong with me, that I wasn't treating him right. And there wasn't anything wrong with me, and not anything wrong with them. It's a spirit that's in them that can't stand the love that's in the home. So you have to start thinking the way God thinks, and understand, and quit feeling sorry for yourself, and understand how the enemy is working to destroy your loved ones. And if you can understand how the enemy is working to destroy your loved ones, you know, they're throwing hate at you, but it really isn't them because we don't work with flesh and blood, right? They're throwing hate at you, but it's not really them doing that. It's the enemy trying to separate and divide, build a wall. So whenever God told me that the other day, I said, okay, devil, no walls, no barricades of any kind. I now know how to pray and destroy you instead of you destroying our relationship and the individual. It hurts when your loved ones come against you, especially when you give them everything that you are and they just trampled under your feet, under their feet. It's not them trampling, it's the enemy. We need to get our flesh under control, totally out of the way, and start walking in Christ and in his love. All right, the key here, I said Jesus had many enemies, and he shared that we would too if we walk as he did. The key here is how many enemies can we win over with the love of God flowing through us? I told you the story, I think, that I first heard when I first was born again, where this Air Force guy got saved, and he went to the barracks that night, and he was just full of the love of God, and his roommate picked a fight with him, and he wouldn't fight back, and he about beat him to death, and he kept saying, I love you. Jesus loves you. And the more he said that, the more the man beat him. Then finally the man collapsed on the floor and said, why won't you hit me back? He said, because I love you, brother. And I want you to meet Jesus. And that guy gave his heart to the Lord. But he liked to kill the other guy. But see, he wouldn't hit him back. Oh, you big macho man, you'd have been up on your forefeet, just swinging with everything you had, excuse me, and beat the guy half to death. But that guy wouldn't touch him. He said, no. And he won that soul to Christ. Come on. The Apostle Paul shares about the necessity for believers to live in the river of God's love. In 1 Corinthians 13:3, he says, I may give away everything I have to help others, and I may even give my body as an offering to be burned, but I gain nothing by doing all this if I don't have love. Well, you know, I gave to the needy. I helped give out packages to the street people. That's wonderful. It's not going to get you to heaven. Do you have love for your family at home? Do you love the unlovable? You can do all kind of nice things, but if you don't have love, and I don't mean just for one people. You have to have true love come from the very depth of your being. And that love splashes out onto everybody that's around about you. I didn't say there wouldn't be times you wouldn't go into a room and scream your head off and tell God you just couldn't do it any longer, because I've done that. He says, yes, you can. Just keep on loving and just keep on moving. And he does the work for you. And you find yourself loving that person more than you did before, because you went to God with the truth and he gave you the strength to do the thing that he's called you for to do. Amen. Come on. I was ministering to somebody right before I left the house, and I said, you know, you're more of a person than you give yourself credit for. And they said, no, I'm not. This person's thing so low of themselves, they think they can't come back up again. And I just sat there and just told them how much I loved them and what a special person they was. To God, not to me, but to God, and that they hadn't gone too far, that he was able to bring them back again. Are you listening? All right, I said, Paul understood the importance of walking in the love of God. Chapters 12 and 14 of 1 Corinthians speaks in great detail of the spiritual gifts that are available to each believer. That's 12 and 14 of 1 Corinthians. It is amazing to see how chapter 13 is nestled in between these two chapters on spiritual gifts. You ought to read those scriptures. I believe that the Lord wants us to see that his love is more important than any gift that we may desire or currently operate in. I've seen people prophesy and they're about as hateful as they come. I've seen people prophesying and commit adultery on their mate. That prophecy isn't going to get them anything because they don't have the love of God. The world does not care how well you prophesy. They want to know how much you love. There is access in this dispensation of time to move deeper into the loving heart of our Father. Right now, God has given you an access into his heavenly realm to go deeper into his heart. Jesus himself was moved by compassion, and out of that came the miracles and healings that we so desire today. Did you ever stop to think maybe the reason why you don't walk in signs, wonders, and miracles is because your love walk isn't right? If God allowed you to do signs, wonders, and miracles, you'd get so prideful you wouldn't be able to stand your own self. So did you get your love walk right, and then we'll talk about signs, wonders, and miracles. All right, let's just say in here, what if I asked somebody to prophesy and somebody else thought they weren't going to get to prophesy? They sit there like a big old puffed up frog. Wow. I don't know why they didn't use me. It's because God didn't want to. That's why. So much jealousy in the body of Christ that it's unreal. Or you have a wife that doesn't think too highly of their husband and God's using them. Look, people think they're just fine and they're not. I mean, that's what the person's thinking. But God doesn't see as you see. He sees your heart. He sees your heart's not right. And he sees his husband or wife that you don't think's right. He sees what's really going on inside of them. Think about this for a while. See if it blows your mind. At this hour, it is very critical that the love of God increase in our lives. We are his body, and his love should shine through us like never before. You know, Aaron and I had a little falling out, and we were distanced, but God put us back together, and I really look forward to come to church just to see Aaron, because it's so wonderful that God has bridged that gap again, and the love of God is flowing through us again. I'm just using him because this just happened recently, and this morning when he wasn't here, it wasn't the same because Aaron wasn't here, the man that God told me to mentor and bring up in Christ. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? You should miss those that you love. Dana, is that her name? She's not here, and I miss her. Yeah, because I love her. She's a special person. You know, I do love the sheep, even though I like to take and shear you real close sometimes. You know, that doesn't take my love away just because you do something dumb. Because I do dumb things too, and I know sometimes you like to say, why don't you go sit down? I'm not going to sit down, though. Amen. Put up with me. I watched Barbara on the Women's Aglow, you know, that little thing you've got going. I watched her, and I thought, you know, sometimes she acts like me up there. The way she moved and talked, I thought it was me. I had to take a double look. She's shorter than I am, though. Okay, where are we at here? And you're really true if you have the love of Christ in you. You know, like a lot of times, Alan misses Wednesdays because he works over in Maryland and he has to get his work done. And I miss him not sitting behind. I can feel he's not there, you know. And whenever little Skippy Peanut Butter, when he doesn't come, you know, when he doesn't come all the time, I start missing him. I said, God, I need to see Skip. I haven't seen him in a while. You know, we miss each other, right? We're supposed to be family, full of love for one another, right? Come on. That's why the body of Christ has no unity. You don't love one another. You don't really miss one another. And you do all kind of dumb things to one another. Right? I was so happy this morning. So I said, Grace, don't get up. Sit in that seat. Now, see, a while back, she would have got upset with me. But, yeah, you would have. Quit. Be quiet. And so she just giggled and sat down there. Then I said, go get some water because God wants to use you. She didn't know why I told her not to get up at the altar. But I just went home. I was just thinking about this. I said, look how she has grown in the Lord. I mean, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see your little sheep growing. Amen. I've then lost my place, to tell you the truth. At this hour. Well, we'll just read that over again. At this hour, it is very critical that the love of God increase in our lives. We are his body, and his love should shine through us like never before. Let's ask Jesus for his greatest gift, the one that lasts forever. Let's ask him to fill us afresh with his love so he can do what he wants to do through us. Let us pursue love like we never have before. Make the pursuit of love a priority in your life. You know, my husband, when my first husband, when my daughter was, Therese was 2 months old, he told me, I don't love you. I'm never going to touch you again. We can live together, but don't expect anything from me. So that's the way it worked. And so when he remarried, he brought this wife. He went with many women when he married. Finally married is when he brought her to my house. And so she finally, after 2 days of being there, cornered me and said, how come you and he got divorced? And I said, if he wants you to, she said, because you're really a nice person. You're loving and kind, and you have a wonderful home. Why did he leave you? I said, if he wants you to know that, he'll tell you. I'm not going to tell you why he did that. And then every time she came, she said, will you please tell me? Because I don't know why he'd leave you. Well, I don't know if she found out or not, but I didn't tell her. You know, see, you know, some women said, wow, you know, they'd have found out just to really tear a person down. That was none of her business why he left me. Amen. He had a problem like most men. He was perverted. He liked more than one woman. Come on. But that was none of her business. If she was going to find out, she'd find out on her own. So let us pursue love. Is that where I'm at? Or did I get lost again? Let us pursue love like we never have before. Make the pursuit of love a priority in your life. I said, let's ask him to fill us afresh with his love so he can do what he wants to do through us. Then let us pursue love like we never have before. Make the pursuit of love a priority in your life. You will find that the gifts of the Spirit in you will be dramatically more effective when they are dripping with the love of God. You know, when my first husband told me he was never going to love me again, I didn't carry on like a fool. I didn't say, God, make him love me. I said, God, I'm going to stay here and raise my children as I've made a promise to you that I would. I want you to be with me, and I want you to keep me, because I don't want to whore around, and I just want you to help me. I never desired to whore around. I never went with anybody, but I stayed there and loved him like a friend, treated him well, and loved my children and raised my children. 45 years. Living with a man who didn't love me, but yet God gave me grace to raise my children in that atmosphere, and nobody ever knew that we were not man and wife. Everybody thought we was the happiest people in the world. Why? Because I made it that way. You can make your happiness or you can make your sorrow. It's up to you. So don't look at me and say, don't look at God and say, make him love me or make change him. No, God needs to change you. He needs to change you. You need to ask him to make you more like Jesus. And let love drip off of your lips. True love, not fake love, but true love. You will find that, we said this, but I'm going to say it again. You will find that the gifts of the Spirit in you will be dramatically more effective when they are dripping with the love of God. In John 17:22 says, Jesus said, I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me. Why? That they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus said he gave us the same thing God gave him. Jesus says, I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. We need to be more like Jesus. And when people meet us, they need to know that God has sent us to them. And the love of God should be dripping out of us so they can be transformed. They won't have to guess, did Jesus send them? Are they following Jesus? But we will be so much like Jesus that they will know that there's something different about you. Many times I've had people say, what is different about you? There's just something different about you. The different thing about me was that I was following in the footsteps of Jesus, letting the love of Jesus shine through. I didn't know that then when I was asked what was different about me, but I learned that through the years. I let the love of Christ shine through me, and I brought peace and not discord. Are you understanding this? Come on. You can do it, but will you? Come on, you can do it, but will you? First John 3:11, this is the teaching you have heard from the beginning. We must love each other. We need to ask God to fill us with a fresh river of his love. I know some of you have trickled down to a dry stream. People have pulled on your love and pulled on your love and pulled on your love to have to be, you don't have any more to give because you never went to the river of living waters and was refilled. God told me when I first started, he said, daughter, give all that I give to you and I will refresh you and I will refill you. So I don't mind giving out anything because I already know that God is my source and you're not going to fill me up, but he will. And he will love us like nobody else can ever love us. Come on. Some of you women, you make me ashamed that you're a woman. You won't be a good wife. You won't be a good mother. And you always want, fix me, fix me. Give me what I want. Read the word. You're really supposed to take care of your husband, right? Well, you shaking your head yes for Nancy for a season you didn't. Come on. You know, I was married to one guy 45 years who said he didn't love me. And then God asked me to marry somebody else that was perverted. And he said, you're the only one that I can give this assignment to. They won't go down to his level, but you'll bring him up to my level. My level. And he's in heaven today because of that. Was those 10 years easy? No, they were not. No, they were not. But God put it, I said, God, I don't even love this person. They're one of the sheep. He said, but I'm going to put a love in your heart and you will love him because I need you to bring him up to your level so he can one day sit in heavenly places. You women want everything. You want the man to love you, to wait on your hand and foot and treat them like a dog. And that's not God. It's not God. Was I happy? Sure, I was happy. A man doesn't make me happy. Jesus Christ does. And men and women won't make you happy. You can wish you didn't have one. I'll tell you, you don't get the right one, right? God makes you happy. And we're always looking. When you guys first came, I first started teaching, I need a man, I need a man. I think to myself, oh, no, you don't. You need Jesus. Come on. Then the men, I need a woman, I need a woman. No, you don't. You need God first. And then you'll be able to handle a woman, right? I'm telling you, the women and men are a mess. I'm so glad you women are agreeing. Because you know that's the truth, right? Now the men are just sitting there sort of grinning to themselves because after all, they're perfect. You wouldn't do anything to upset a woman for nothing. You lustful little things, you. Come on. All right, so we got the joy going. Now we need the love going. I want when people walk through those doors, they feel nothing but love. I really do. See, there's one thing about Aaron. He always stood back there and now walked in and said, good evening or good morning, Pastor. And you know, he was so loving and so kind. Whether he felt like it or not, he was. No, I could feel the love, the true love coming out of him for me as I walked through the door. That's the best thing that a pastor could ever have is somebody standing at that door, welcome you. All you men, don't rush that door now. And you're feeling the love of your people as you come through the door. You know, Jesus didn't have too much of that, did he? Just his followers that followed him really loved him. Everybody else hated him and rejected him. But he knew those that were his, and it didn't bother him any. If you people knew what your assignment was from God, you wouldn't get bothered either. And when you did, when you really did get bothered, instead of carrying on with the person that your assignment, you have assignment on, you go to the Father and tell God to give you strength. We're not like Paul, remove this thing from me. No, God said, my grace is sufficient. Isn't that what he said? And then all of a sudden, and Paul continued on his work with God. And one day he found out that person was gone. God just took them away. Oh, no. Now you have women saying, take them. You'll say, I'm going to work for you, God. And you're just looking around. Have you taken them away yet? Have you taken them away yet? Come on. Let's get this together tonight. You claim you're celebrating Christ's birthday. So we have to be like him and we have to love, right? Gabriel's listening to everything I'm saying. And I guarantee you, if I get upset with him, he said, where was this love thing you just talked about? Because he does he does things like that. And he's right. He keeps me on my toes. I'm glad he does that. I don't need a yes man around me. I need somebody who's going to tell me like it is. And when he tells me like it is too long, I said, you said enough, now be quiet. And then he says, what? I can't tell the truth. Come on. God will use anything he wants to do to keep you on your love walk, right? All right, so I said, back to what I was saying. We need to ask God to fill us with a fresh river of his love. So if you... You know, the only way you can have true joy like that is if you are full of the love of God. I'm like Sister Barbara. I can't laugh like that. It takes all my breath away and I choke myself. So I have to sit there like I don't know how to laugh. Okay, well, the altar's open. If you want a fresh infilling of God's love, you can laugh. That's fine.